Hey guys, how are we doing tonight? It is definitely dark in London, for sure. It's early though. It's not too late. But my name is Brian Hinkle, and my wife and I lead the central region of the London Church here, and it is great to be here today to come together. Lots of great things going on. Lots of people here today. Christian's got a new haircut, so that is great to see. And I almost didn't even recognize him, but there he is. So, it is wonderful to be here. We've been going through the book of Deuteronomy, and we are continuing to do so. We've been looking at different aspects of the book of Deuteronomy, and I think all of us can say that we have learned a lot out of Deuteronomy. It's so good to be back, because last week, many of us, including Lauren and I and all the students, we were at the student retreat, which we had a great time, last week, but it is all good to be back together again as a whole region. But let's go ahead, we're gonna turn to Deuteronomy 4. We were actually in Deuteronomy 4 a few weeks ago when we talked about covenant. But today we're actually going to talk about God, believe it or not. We are going to talk about God, and Jeremiah texted me earlier this week, and he said, what are we talking about this Sunday at church? And I said, God. And he's like, he said, oh, yeah, I know. And I said, no, that's the topic, is we are focusing on God, and we're focusing on his character, and it is, there's a lot to talk about in a short amount of time when it comes to God. It's clear in the book of Deuteronomy that he is present. And even though his presence is not tangible, Moses makes Israel sure to talk about God and let them know that God is present, that God is around. He wants Israel to realize that God is in their lives, that God is for sure the King of Israel. And that is clearly what Moses is communicating in the message in the book of Deuteronomy. You know, it's clear that God wants Israel to know that God has ownership and dominion of them. That Israel is his people, and that Israel is his country. So how do we communicate God in 3 points in 30 minutes? I have no idea. It's impossible. It is impossible. We could talk about God for a whole month and stay here for a whole month and not leave this building, and I don't think we'd cover everything there is to know about God. But if we are to become a people that God desires us to be, then God needs to be clear in who he is. And if we are a people that desire to know God, if we are a people that live for God, then God should be clear in our lives. Our belief that we work on behalf must be wavering. We must not waver in that we work on behalf of God, that we are his servants, we are his people, we are his country. And so we're going to look at 3 points today from the text of Deuteronomy 4. So if you're not there already, let's go ahead and turn there. And let's also pray as well. Heavenly Father, thanks for this opportunity to be together today, God, to talk about you, to talk about how great you are and how endless you are and how everlasting you are. God, you're so powerful, God. You're so full of so many characteristics that it is incomprehensible, God, to think of all of them. You're so mighty, so big, and so grand, God. You know all the answers to every question we have, God. You know everything about us, more so than we know about ourselves, God. And I thank you so much that you can be that God for us that gives us great security, that gives us great protection, that makes us feel safe, God. And it is so much because of your love. And I thank you for Senyo and Sue representing and talking about your love. And it's only because of your love that we love. Every time we love, it is because of you, and you loved us first. That is such a powerful, powerful passage, God. That fear is punishment. And God, I pray today that we will learn to love you more, that we will see you working in our lives so much more than we do today. God, you are working in our lives so, so much, each and every moment, every aspect of our day. You are there, and help us to just see that day in and day out, God. I thank you that you are so amazing and so powerful, God. I pray for you to be that you speak, God, that what you want us to know about you is spoken, and we can leave here rejoicing and just full of gratitude and just full of awe of who you are, God. Thank you so much. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, Deuteronomy 4, starting in verse 1. Hear now, O Israel, the decrees and laws I am about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and must go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. Do not add to what I command you, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. You saw with your own eyes what the Lord did at Baal Peor. The Lord your God destroyed from among you everyone who followed the Baal of Peor. But all of you who held fast to the Lord your God are still alive today. See, I have taught you decrees and laws as the Lord may command me, so that you may follow him in the land you are entering to take possession of it. Observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations, who will hear about all these decrees and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them, the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him? And what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws I am setting before you today? Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Let's go down to verse 32. Ask now about the former days, long before your time, from the day God created man on the earth. Ask from one end of the heavens to the other. Has anything so great as this ever happened? Or has anything like it ever been heard of? Has any other people heard the voice of God speaking out of fire as you have and lived? Has any God ever tried to take for himself one nation out of another nation by testings, by miraculous signs and wonders, by war, by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, or by great and awesome deeds like all the things the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your very eyes? You were shown these things so that you might know that the Lord is God. Besides him, there is no other. From heaven, he made you hear his voice to discipline you. On earth, he showed you his great fire, and you heard his words from out of the fire. Because he loved your forefathers and chose their descendants after them, he brought you out of Egypt by his presence and his great strength, to drive out before you nations greater and stronger than you, and to bring you into their land, to give it to you from your inheritance as it is today. Acknowledge and take to heart this day that the Lord is God, in heaven above and on earth below. There is no other. Keep his decrees and commands, which I am giving you today, so that it may go well with you and your children after you, and that you may live long in the land the Lord your God gives you for all time. My first point is, God is giving. God is so giving. We see that in verses 1, verses 28, verses 38, verses 40. God is a giving God. Over 100 times in the book of Deuteronomy, it talks about God giving. God gave his commands and laws. God would give them the promised land, Israel. God gave their enemies into their hands. It was God that did those things. God gave them water to drink. He gave them food to eat. He gave them the manna and the quail. God gave them freedom from Egypt. God separated them from the world. God gave them leaders to guide them day by day, night by night. And what else did God give them to lead them day by day and night by night? He gave them fire, and he gave them cloud. The opportunities for forgiveness and worship. God gave all these things. And these things that I just mentioned, that's just the beginning. And all that we could talk about, each one of those things for 30 minutes and say, okay, thanks for coming. Hope you enjoyed service. So there's so many things. And all those things we find in Exodus and we find in Deuteronomy. All these things that God has given us. God has been giving to us since the creation of the earth. You know, he gave Eve, he gave Adam. And what did he give them? He gave them a garden, right? And this garden was awesome. And they gave them a garden so that they could eat. Except the one tree that they were supposed to not eat from. But other than that, he gave them everything that was in that garden was for them to enjoy, to this take in and go, thank you so much, God, for how giving you are. Unfortunately, what happened is they had a lack of gratitude. And the desire for what was not allowed led them to their first sin. So though God was living, Israel, unfortunately, would not respond with gratitude. Israel lacked gratitude, and they did not respond to the way God helped them. God delivered them, yet what did they do? They grumbled. He gave them food. What do? They complain. I know I don't complain when my wife makes me a meal. Man, I am not complaining. It doesn't even matter what it is. I'm not complaining. Just, thank you so much for this food. Come on. He gave them laws. They broke them. The laws were too difficult. They were too challenging. They were too much. I can't do it. That's what Israel did. Yet, what did God do? God continued to give. He continued to give. Even though most of his children, most of his people would turn the other way, he continued to give. And the great thing is what? Is that God has not changed today either. He still is like that today. Giving and giving and giving. And you know what? Most of us have turned away. Most of us have turned away. But we turn back. Or maybe we've never turned towards Him. Maybe we're still learning how to turn towards Him. But if we stay turned away, you know, as Matthew 7 says, only few will enter into His house. It's easy to lose sight of what God has given us day in and day out. It's easy to lose sight of what God has even given us today. I mean, think about today. Think about, it was beautiful out today. The sun was shining. It was amazing. We had some sisters over at our house and we got to fellowship and they're in their Bibles. We have our Bibles. We have that today. We can pray today. We have so, so much. I've met new people today that I've never met in my life before. It's great. You know, we have a sister here from Russia. That is awesome. We have a brother from Florida who is in the lobby right now. But it's awesome. It's so, so cool to think. You know, even Liverpool won last night. How awesome is that? Come on. It's about time. No. So, but what has God given us? He's given us so much. He's given us relationship. He's given us a relationship with Him that today we can talk to Him. We can talk to Him, and guess what else He's given us? He's given us the opportunity that we can listen to Him. How He wants to hear from us. He wants us to talk to Him by prayer. He wants to talk to us by reading His Word. He speaks to us through others as well. You know, He speaks. I've had many conversations. We had a meeting before this, and we were in the Bible, and we were sharing, and we were talking and sharing our thoughts. And man, God uses other things and other methods to talk to us, to speak to us. What else does He use? Is through the Holy Spirit, God talks to us and He guides us. John 16:13, it says the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. Not just truth, but all truth. There's nothing false that the Holy Spirit guides us to. It is all truth. These are things that God's given us today. But how easy are we quickly to forget, like Israel? We do have freedom in Christ, don't we? We have freedom in Christ. As Galatians 5, verse 1 says, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Verse 13 of Galatians 5 says, my brothers were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge a sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. It's not about our rights. It's not about our rights, but rather the opportunity to what? To consider others, to consider others over ourselves. So that he's given us, we've been given freedom in Christ. What else have we been given? Like I said earlier, we've been given the Holy Spirit. We've been given the Holy Spirit, which, by the way, it's the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. And what are we fearing? What? We have the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, and we fear at times? And we can struggle with fear? Fear makes no sense when you consider that we have the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. Why is fear even present in our lives? You know, knowing that we have this Holy Spirit that God has given us should make us walk taller and prouder, but not arrogant, but confident. What else has God given us today? He's given us confidence of heaven. Confidence of heaven is something that God has given us. You know, my worst days, I can still think I'm going to heaven. My worst days, when things are tough, when things are challenging, when I'm struggling, I can still think heaven makes up for it. And the idea that I will go to heaven, it brings us peace. That, you know, this might be a tough day, this might be challenging, but I have the confidence of heaven. There's hope. That's hope, right? First Thessalonians 5:8. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet, the hope of salvation. What else have we been given? Because God is so giving. We've been given the kingdom of God on earth. Psalm 68:6, it says, God sets the lonely in families. He leads forth the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. Looking back on my life, before I knew about the kingdom of God on earth, I was a prisoner. And I was a prisoner of my own doing. It was challenging. It was difficult. But the things I sought, the things I seeked, they were nothing of God. I built relationships with women that were for me. There was nothing at all for God. There was nothing at all for them. And the way I did about it, I was very cautious. I did not want to commit. So what did I do? Is I built long distance relationships, because that I could be safe. That was kind of a barrier. And I built these relationships and built these relationships. And I can think of one where I really got to know this woman really, really well. And so well that we live far apart, but I got to know her so well that she came to visit. I didn't show up at the airport. That's how much a prisoner I was of self. She called me. I didn't pick up. Because, no thanks. I don't want to have any, it's too uncomfortable. It's too unsafe. Stay away. I was a prisoner of self. But then I get this kingdom of God that I get invited to. And I've accepted the invitation. And I think back to me doing that, and what, I had the audacity to leave someone at the airport. They traveled all that way. And I left them at the airport. And I didn't pick up. I didn't call. And then, oh, by the way, like a week later, I called thinking I could still have that relationship. And I'll tell you what, I got a licking. For sure. I sought help. I sought guidance. I sought counsel. But to no avail. I still sought relationships for me. But then I got to see the kingdom. I got to see the kingdom of God, and man, I was all in. I was all about it. I did not want to go anywhere else or do anything. Whatever was going on, I was there. If I got a call at 6 a.m. to be something at 10, I'll be there. You know, I had people waking me up saying, hey, come to my place for breakfast this morning. Okay, I'm coming. I'll be there. I was all in. And I think something else that we get because of the kingdom of God on earth is we get these great relationships, these one another relationships where we get discipling, where we get help. And what are some things that I learned? Well, obviously, I did not know how to build righteous relationships whatsoever. That's obviously clear from some of the things I shared. I got help on building relationships based on faith, not on emotions. Relationships that please God first and not me first. I got help to see that God is so much greater than what I was going after. I got help to see what living a life for God is really all about. These are things. I got help with my sin. I got help with opportunity to overcome it. Where before I would go to these counselors, I'd get help, and it wasn't helpful at all. I kept doing the same thing over and over. And then I come into God's kingdom and I get direction and I overcome this sin. I overcome this selfishness. I overcome not knowing how to build relationships. But it took God's kingdom to help me. It took people who had experience to help me. I had experience out in the world. Those people, they had degrees in that stuff, but they couldn't help me. But there's something about getting in the Bible and sharing scripture with me and directing me to God that helped me overcome what I needed help with. And guess what the best thing was about all that? It was absolutely free.
Amen.
I didn't pay a single thing. It was free. The kingdom of God is free. It is free and it is waiting for each and every one of us. And I didn't come into the kingdom of God and all of a sudden I had a life coach. I didn't have a life coach at all. What I was getting is I had an eternity coach.
Wow.
I had someone helping me to make it to eternity, and I have that each and every day. And am I thankful for that? That I have eternity coaches in my life. I get it today. I get it each and every day. And it is awesome. It's not a life coach. I have eternity coaches. And, do you see yourself as someone that is an eternity coach? Do you see yourself helping? Do you help others make it to eternity? Do you desire to help others make it to eternity? Do you even know how to do that? If you don't know how to do that, get into your Bible. Your Bible will teach you how to do that. Study the Bible with others that do know how to do that. So you can be an eternity coach or an eternity mom or whatever you want to call it. I like sports, so I talk about sports things a lot. So whatever you want to call it. But do you see yourself as that? There have been mistakes that I've made in the past. And that is clearly, clearly obvious. But I'm grateful for each and every one of those mistakes. And why is that? It's because I've been given opportunity to see God's grace. I've been shown God's grace because of those mistakes. People, they killed Jesus in the Bible. Jesus is killed. And guess what? I've been mistreated. But the great thing is because of my mistakes, and I've been shown grace endlessly, endlessly, over and over and over again, those people that mistreat me, I return that with what? I return that with love. I get to return that with grace. I get to return that with mercy, which is exactly what Jesus did, and he was killed. So hopefully I can return that as well. Hopefully we can all return that as well, just because we get mistreated a little bit here and there. Hopefully we can all give that, because our mistakes have shown how much grace we are given time and time again. Discipline. This scripture talks about discipline a little bit. Discipline can be hard, but discipline does produce perseverance. Do you all see these things as gifts from God? Do you see all these things as God is so giving to us? Or maybe you've forgotten their gifts and you see them as burdens. Maybe they're burdens. Do you see the challenges as your opportunity to be more like Christ? To respond like God did to Israel. The fact that I don't respond like God tells me that he is unlike any other. And that's my second point, is there is no other. There is no other. Exclamation point after exclamation point after exclamation point. Endless exclamation points. There is no other. Verses 35 and 39. That's what Moses, that's what's said here. And Moses is drawing a picture of something of huge proportions to think of the fact that there is no other. That's huge. That's big. It's the most epic and monumental event that has just occurred in all the world. Verses 32, it says, from one end of the heavens to the other. That's the whole world. What is Moses speaking of? He's speaking of the Lord speaking at Horeb through the fire. That is the biggest event. There's nothing that can be ever bigger than that. This was a great event, and Moses proclaims that it is the greatest event that can ever be witnessed in all the earth. Nothing greater in earth's history has been observed. That's what Moses is trying to paint here. That's what he's trying to get across to Israel. In verse 34, Moses, he gives 8 examples of what God has done. Just stacking up his case for God's greatness more and more. The testing that it talks about in verse 34, it might refer to Exodus 17:7, when Israel tested God. When Israel tested God, asking if he was among them or not. That's what Israel said. And when did they say this? God, are you among us? How could they be wondering if God was among them after all God had done for them to take them out of Egypt? That's when they were saying this, is after the fact that they were taken out of Egypt. What had been done for them to this point? How had God given to them to this point? Well, look at the other 7 examples of God's greatness. That is what God has done for them to this point. That is how God took them out of Egypt. And God did it to display His power. And His power was so much greater than any of the gods of Egypt. All these amazing deeds were done for them. Right before their eyes, they could see it. They were witnesses. And why were they witnesses? It was for God intently made them be witnesses. He was very intentional in having them be witnesses. And what was the intent? It was to learn that He is the only true God. That there is no other. The other intent is so they could be corrected of any false notions or wrong behavior. But to also, the intent was to prepare them for entrance into the land that they were to inherit. Do we think about what God has done for us to this point? Or do we go, where are you, God? Where are you in my life? Are you present? Are you there? Where are you? It doesn't take long to look back and realize He is for sure present in our lives. So what might be some signs that we are living as if we believe there is no other? I think one is patience. Do we have patience? You know, if someone gave you a donut, donuts are really good, right? We all love donuts. Krispy Kreme seems to be really big in London. If someone gives you a donut and say, hey, here's a donut, and right across the table there's 2 more. And you said, you can only eat this one donut though, you can't eat any more after that. And then everyone leaves the room and it's just you and those 3 donuts. And you eat that one and then there's 2 more. What? Are you going to have the patience and the self-control to not eat the 1 or 2 more donuts? Are you going to be able to be patient and not eat those? I don't know. Donuts are pretty darn good. I got to go to Krispy Kreme with Senyo a couple weeks ago. Man, I had 2 donuts. I did. But those are the only 2 I've had since I've been here, so I'm doing all right. But patience. Patience. Would you say that patience was Israel's strength? No. Not at all. It wasn't their strength. Moses was 40 days at Mount Sinai, and they made a calf and began to worship a calf. They couldn't wait 40 days. They had to worship something, so let's make this calf out of metal, and here we go. They lacked patience. I want it now. I want it now. Give it to me now. I can't wait any longer. I need this. Come on, just give it to me, God. I want this. I want this. I've been praying for this. Give it to me. And then if it doesn't happen, you stop praying for it. We are definitely a part of the now generation. I think it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. Because now, man, I found out I could buy a trip on my phone. I could buy a trip to wherever because I can find a travel agency on there and I could purchase the trip. I could do it right now at the end of service. Hey, guess where we're going in a week? No, it's become a now generation. The quicker the better. That's what we all think. That's what we're all taught. That's what society teaches us is the quicker the better. But are you waiting on God to meet your needs? Or have you begun to take matters into your own hands? As a single, are you patient that God will give you all that you need? Whether that means a spouse or not, are you patient that God will give you all that you need? Is your devotion undivided to Him no matter what? You know, maybe you're a Christian and you're waiting for your spouse that isn't to become a Christian, but are you relying on God? Are you patient? God knows your needs. And are you surrendered to the needs that He is giving you? Waiting on that job. Are you going after finding that job with full of faith? Are you patient that God's going to provide that job? There's a sister that Lauren and I know. She got a marketing degree. And for like 4 or 5 years, she never did anything to do with marketing at all. She did not want to do it. She was struggling to find job after job after job and holding jobs. And the economy's tough in the States, and it was hard for her. And then the summer, it was like June or something like that, and she said, you know what, I'm going to apply for 7 jobs every day. Every day I'm going to apply for 7 jobs, and I'm going to do it until I get a job. And so for 2 months, every single day, she applied for 7 jobs. That's 60 days, 61 days, something like that. That's 420 applications. That's 420 jobs that she applied for. And she got a job, and she's doing something in her degree now after 4 or 5 years of not having the faith and being like, you know what, I don't know. God, you didn't give me a job right out of uni, so I'm just going to have to get these other jobs. But then she went after it, and she went after it with faith, and now she's doing something that she enjoys, and she did it with faith. 420 jobs. I've never applied for 420 jobs in my life. She applied for that many in 2 months. That's amazing. Students, how's your patience? No one's open on my campus. No one wants to know the gospel. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to know about God. They don't believe in the Bible. Do you know that all but one of the universities that all of our students represent has over 10,000 students? Each and every one of them, except for one. Come on, Goldsmith. And you have the mindset that no one is open? Have you reached out to every single one of those people? Patience. Patience. Let God work in your life. It takes patience to find those worthy of hearing the gospel. But it is clear that God will provide someone. Or else He wouldn't have given us this great mission at all. If there was no one open, He wouldn't have told us to have this great commission to go and go and make disciples. What's another way that we know that there is no other? Maybe it's our gratitude. Are you naturally a grateful person? Is saying thank you something that comes for you naturally? My wife's great at saying thank you. She makes thank you cards and she uses the word thank you a lot. Even when she prays to God, she's full of gratitude for God. My wife is she's a person naturally grateful. Israel began with a lot of gratitude, some great gratitude. When God brought them through the waters of the Red Sea, they were humbled, they were excited, they sang songs of Moses and Miriam, until what? Until they got thirsty, and then they began to complain. Do you remember your acts of gratitude? And what I mean by your acts of gratitude is your willingness to do anything for God. To go anywhere at any time without concern for how inconvenient it might be for you that you were willing to go. How you used to run from out of sin because of gratitude. You overcame sin. There was repentance because you were so full of gratitude. Do you still run from sin like you used to? Do you run to the fellowship? Do you run to discipling? Being dependent. Are you dependent or are you independent? Are you still dependent like you used to be? Dependent on those, dependent on the body of Christ. Do you still have acts of gratitude that show you're willing to be taught and to learn instead of being defensive and you have an answer for everything? Do you still have that act of gratitude? Yeah, God, just teach me. I just want to know more. I want to be more like Jesus. So in order for you to be more like Jesus, in order for me to be more like Jesus, I got a lot to learn. So am I going to be humble or am I going to be defensive? Am I willing to be taught? Am I willing to learn? What's another way that there is no other? How's our selfless living going? Israel made it about themselves. They forgot it was supposed to be about the one and only, the one where there is no other. They forgot that's supposed to be about God. They made it about themselves and they made it about their rights. You know, I have no rights. I gave all my rights up. I was bought at a price. The blood of Christ has cleansed me. I don't have any rights. What can I do for you? Do we say that a lot? What can I do for you, God? What can I do for you, Michael? What can I do for you, TJ? What can I do for you? Hebrews 10, it talks about not stopping, but meeting together. 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about how much we need each other. Have you taken back your time? Are you just trying to hold on to your time and do whatever you want with your time? Is that time really yours anyways? Is it really yours anyways? If you're following Jesus, is your time really yours? Jesus, He gave up His rights. He gave up His rights to a throne. Jesus could have had a throne. And He gave up His rights. Jesus, as Philippians 2, as Senyu talked about, Jesus did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Consider one another. Consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Consider others better than yourselves. Jesus is Lord of all, selfless and completely. You know, are we like that, where Jesus is Lord of all? That's another way. There is no other. Is Jesus Lord of all, everything we have? Is He Lord of our time? Is He Lord of our money? Is He Lord of our comfort? Is He Lord of our attitude? Is He Lord of our emotion? Because you're a Christian does not give you the right to anything. In fact, our rights died when we were baptized. That's when our rights died. Philippians 2, the attitude of Christ. He made Himself what? He made Himself a slave. Do slaves have rights? Jesus made Himself a slave. We're Christians. I think Jesus' name is in that name. We're slaves. We do not have rights. And Jesus in Philippians 2, it says what? His attitude was that He became obedient to death. Is Jesus Lord of all? If we're obedient to death, if we're slaves, Jesus for sure is Lord of all. My third point is, God has a purpose. Let's read verses 37 through 40 again. Starting in verse 37, it says, "Because He loved your forefathers and chose their descendants after them, He brought you out of Egypt by His presence and His great strength, to drive out before you nations greater and stronger than you, and to bring you into their land, to give it to you for your inheritance as it is today. Acknowledge and take to heart this day that the Lord is God in heaven above and on the earth below. There is no other, keeping His decrees and commands, which I am giving you today, so that it may go well with you and your children after you, and that you may live long in the land the Lord your God gives you for all time." He didn't do all that He had done in order to get results. He did it for a purpose. Live long in the land. His goal was for them to live there forever and represent Him to the world. Show the world His love and how amazing He is. That was His purpose. That's why He did all these things. That's why He gave Israel so much. During the darkest and most terrible times, they still had the opportunity to shine and show God to the world. to commit to the one true God, because there is no other. Without purpose, my life before Christ was without purpose. I went to work, I went home. I went to work, I went home. I paid the bills, I went to work to pay the bills again, and I went home. That's kind of what my life looked like. There was no purpose at home either. I lived by myself, so I didn't even think the thought process of having people over. I didn't even think of having people over, because that was my little kingdom. That was my time. I could do whatever I wanted. I just lived a life of self-indulgence. Watch a movie whenever I wanted, stay up as late as I wanted, be on the computer for hours and hours, play video games, you name it. Man, I got good at FIFA. I got really good at FIFA. I got good. There was a game I could win. It was a hockey game. I could pull the goalie on purpose and I'd still beat the computer with no goalie, because that's what I did. Talk about, is that a life of purpose? No. It's not a life. That's self. That is indulgent in me. I could do whatever I wanted. My purpose was for me and for me alone. I really appreciate it. Yesterday, Rotimi and I sat down and we're in the scriptures, and I asked Rotimi, I said, well, why do you want to be a fisherman of men? And I will always remember this. This even said you could use this someday in a lesson. So here I am a day later, but it's very applicable to what we talked about yesterday. And he said, I want to be a fisherman of men because it's the only purpose that lasts forever. And I remember thinking that. I was like, wow, you're so right. I'm a husband, but that purpose might not last my whole life. You know, Lauren's a wife, but that purpose might not last her whole life. But man, being a fisherman of men, that purpose lasts forever. When I became a disciple in 2003, I was so inspired by God. I was inspired by God before I was a disciple, because when I was studying the Bible, I remember going over Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and reading the Great Commission, and I was blown away. I thought, God wants to use me. For what? For His purpose. I have a purpose, and it's a purpose from God, and that is amazing. I could not believe it. I was like, oh my gosh, all the stuff I've been doing, this is why I'm here. I'm not here to be a physio. I'm not here to be a student. I'm not here to win every video game. I'm not here to travel the world. I'm here to be a fisherman of men. I'm here to go and make disciples. That is why I am here. I thought, man, I'm here to seek and to save those that are lost. And that blew me away. Nothing else seemed to matter at that point when I read that. I was like, nothing else seemed to matter. God has purpose for making clear that He is the one and only for us at this time as well. That we might live long in the land, live long in His kingdom. Long is relative, I don't know. But to live long in His kingdom so we represent Him. So we represent Him to the world. Maybe you feel like you've lost your purpose in this world. You need to get your view of God back again. I hope this lesson is helping you get your view of God back again. He never went anywhere either. God's never, ever gone anywhere. He's been there all along waiting for you to turn to Him. He isn't far from any one of us. Repent and do the things you did at first. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you haven't been committed in your heart, then repent and start living with purpose again. Live with purpose. Do you do the things you do with purpose? Are they purposeful? Your job is no purpose. Your hobbies are not lasting purposes. Only those things that are eternal are worth really giving your whole purpose to. But don't allow Satan to tell you otherwise. If you've never had a purpose like I'm describing, it's time for you to find out. If you've never had a purpose that meant everything, where it wasn't in vain at all, but it was real and it was true and it was honest and it was life forever until your life is over, Now's your time to find out about this purpose. Now's the time. It's time to commit your life to the purpose of living to what? To please God, rather than living to please yourself. Living to please self. It's time, I want to encourage you, study the Bible and get your life in relationship with God straight. Because He wants to give you a life of purpose. We could be here for a month, I said. We could be here for a month talking about God. We could talk about Him all the time. We could talk about Him as much as we can. And we still wouldn't talk about everything there is to talk about. But one thing we do need to talk about is we do need to respond to Him. And we need to respond because we need to respond there because we need to remember that He is giving. Even when we're sinners and enemies, what did He do? He still gave Jesus. Even when we are His enemies, Romans 5 says, He continues to vie for us. Even in our darkness, He continues to fight and fight and fight for us. We are still here. We're still here and we can repent. He also is the one and only. There is no other. There is no other besides Him. Don't allow idols to distract us from what is most important, the one and only God. He had a purpose for your life. Figure out what that purpose is and get on track toward living it each and every day. And the church said, Amen. Come on. Thanks, guys.